Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Let's talk about this other conversation, and that's one that we started speaking about yesterday as this news started to become more of a thing. Tender tycoon with ties to Ramaphosa family raked in almost 400 million from Gauteng hospitals. So is this a real story? Is this something that is now just being another shot fired in the internal ANC battle as they seek to unseat Ramaphosa, place different people? It's very hard to determine what is real and what is not real there. Karam Singh is the executive director at Corruption Watch. A very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on the program.
A great pleasure. So when I read these types of articles now, I do it through a very strange lens, and I don't know if that's right or not, but I keep thinking about the internal battle that the ANC is telling us that they're not having, but that's a bold-faced lie, we know that, but they're having this battle internally, and we see these power struggles, and then just as it settles for a few days, there's another scandal that either impacts one side or the other. That's how I'm viewing it, and I'm likely probably wrong in my approach to it. Can you take us through this, please?
No, I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I think, you know, the challenge is there's lots of different loose ends going on, and it's oftentimes difficult to step, as you say, you know, to kind of separate what's being planted in the news for political purposes and what's a real story. So, you know, one of the big challenges I have as Corruption Watch is we get asked to comment on stories as they appear in the media. So, you know, this story about the Tembisa Hospital has been an unfolding story. We know it's subject to official investigations by the Hawks, and there's probably some SIU investigations in terms of their Gauteng Health. But then we see exposés coming out in the media as well. And we see a kind of key figure now whose name comes up in an affidavit as being linked to all these irregular, what are alleged to be irregular procurement deals. And then the issue comes out that there's a linkage through family to President Ramaphosa. You know, the other thing that then came out was the additional letter that Arthur Fraser sent, which implicates an advisor to President Ramaphosa, Benjani Choke, in money laundering. He's denied those allegations, but it's linked to the Falafala. But what you see coming up in the Tembisa stories is a link now between alleged between Mr. Choke and Mr. Maumela. You know, it's difficult to verify all of this, especially when investigations are ongoing and in a context where we know that, you know, there are these political shenanigans going on in the background. You know, Mr. Fraser himself is an implicated figure, yet it seems that there could be, you know, some veracity to the various claims that he's made that are now the subject to a high level investigation and, you know, a parliamentary panel that could lead to impeachment proceedings.
So what, as Corruption Watch, how do you approach this? Do you let this play out? Do you look for very specific cases to get involved with? How do you manage it on your side?
You know, there's so much going on in the environment from a corruption standpoint that it would be unfair to me to say that we are on top of all of the
South Africa, you couldn't be.
It's absolutely impossible. It's unmanageable, you know, for an organization of 30 people. But, you know, when allegations get brought to our attention, you know, we do our best to try to verify them. And where possible, we, you know, publicize them. Where possible, we refer them to law enforcement. You know, I'm often asked to go come to the media to comment on these issues, and it's important that I'm honest to say I'm also sort of receiving this information as the public is via news stories. And, you know, we can be grateful that we do have, you know, really powerful investigative journalists that are able to kind of expose stories and bring issues to the fore. From Corruption Watch, we need to be consistent, you know, in terms of our messaging around transparency, around accountability. You know, so the question often gets asked, what should the president do? You know, and, you know, the president, you know, he's in an unenviable position, but where possible, he needs to bring the public into his confidence, dispel any allegations that are against him, and kind of double down on his commitment to the fight against corruption. You know, whether that will win the day, whether that will win the public's trust is another issue. So, you know, I think from Corruption Watch's standpoint, we're kind of playing a facilitative role, but we're also kind of, we see ourselves as a social justice organization. So we have to kind of, push the envelope appropriately in order to ensure we get the kind of accountability and good governance in the system that's required.
Yeah, it's a very, very difficult one. Do we think that, when we talk about transparency, that's the very thing that the ANC has fought against. That's been part of the problem because they've kept the country in the dark. They've operated effectively or metaphorically in the basement. And it's only in the last couple of years that these things have come to light. We've seen the president's reluctance to be open with us about Palapala's situation. It's very hard. For the ANC, in terms of their own ideology, to trust the people of the country. They don't trust us, which is a very, very real indication as to where they stand. You know, I often find when you deal with people, the harsher that they are, or the more they suspicious, it's quite telling about who they are more than it is about anything else. So the ANC's lack of transparency speaks to lack of trust. To rebuild that, their reputation is really, really very, very bad when it comes to any form of trust. How do they rebuild that?
It's really putting their money where their mouth is. It's in practice. It's about what they do when they succeed at the polls, so the test is sort of put to the ANC every day, whether it be the new administration in Gauteng, that's now come in, a new premier, some new leadership, to, what happens at the party conference and what happens after the party conference. Mm. So, I think we'll get a sense, beyond the rhetoric about sort of whether we can trust the bona fides of the ANC leadership when it comes to the fight against corruption once the dust settles on the conference. And we have to keep pushing them. They've got to do better at Parliament. They've got to do better when it comes to processing legislation, and have to do better when it comes to, respect for judgments coming out of the court and for, judicial processes and when we ask for information. One of the big challenges we get is, allegations come to us. We need to investigate them. We put in an access to information request, and then, we don't get any cooperation from government. So, that trust is really broken down. It's not going to get rebuilt anytime soon, but it's ultimately incumbent on the leadership of the ANC to press their case. And if they can't do it, then, they must face the consequences of the polls.
Absolutely right. That is where we leave it. Karam Singh, Executive Director at Corruption Watch. It's 8:56. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.